if it were late at night, couldn't he?
Yes, dear me, I shall have to do a sum. Your car does 20 to the gallon and holds 8 gallons. You went 40 miles, starting with a full tank. Therefore, there should be 6 gallons, and there are only about 3. That leaves a discrepancy of 60 miles or so. I do wish he told one of you where this damned warehouse was.
But he did. At least Seacliff said this morning she thought she remembered he said something about it being near Holloway.
Good Lord, why didn't she say so last night? Why does she always behave in the most tiresome manner one could possibly conceive?
Oh, I'm nearly as bad, not to have told you at once.
You are nothing like as bad. Troy rang the bell, which was answered by Hipkin, a large man with a small head and flat feet. Ask Miss Seacliff if she'll come and see me. Seacliff strolled in, dressed in black trousers and a magenta sweater.
"Good morning, Miss Seacliff," said Alain.
"Do you want to be alone, Mr. Alain?" asked Troy.
"No, no, I just want to ask Miss Seacliff about this Holloway business."
"Oh," said Seacliff, "you mean the place where Garcia is going to scalp?"
"Yes. Did he tell you it was somewhere near Holloway?"
"Yes, he did. I'd forgotten. He asked me if I would come and see him while he was working. Then he said it was near Holloway because I remember I asked him if he thought he'd be safe. I said I knew better than to spend an afternoon with him in a deserted studio, but I might get Basil to drag me there. And, of course, that made him quite livid with rage."
"Did he tell you exactly where it was?"
"He drew up a map, but I'm afraid I've lost it."
"Then I think that's all, thank you, Miss Seacliff." She got up, frowned, and closed her eyes for a moment. "What's the matter?" asked Troy.
"I've got another of these filthy headaches. I've been getting them lately."
"You're looking a bit white," said Troy more kindly. "Why don't you lie down? Would you like some aspirin?"
"Basil gave me his last night, thanks."
She took out her mirror and looked at herself with intense concentration.
"I look bloody,"
she said, and walked out of the room.
"She always liked that?" asked Alain.
"Pretty much. She's spoiled. She'd have been comparatively easy to live with if she hadn't got that lovely face. She is beautiful, you know."
"Oh, magnificent,"
agreed Alain absently. He was looking at Troy, at the delicate sparseness of her head, the straight line of her brows, and the generous width between her grey-green eyes.
"I must get on with my odious job," he said.
"May I use your telephone?"
"Yes, of course."
He turned at the doorway and said, "Lady Alain's compliments to Miss Troy, and if Miss Troy would like to sample the amenities of Dane's Lodge, Lady Alain will be very happy to offer them."
"Your mother is very kind," said Troy, "but I think it would be better not. Will you thank her from me? Please say I am very grateful indeed."
Alain bowed.
"I'm grateful to you too," said Troy.
"Are you?
That is rather dangerously nice of you.
Goodbye." Alain found Fox, who had renewed his acquaintance with the Hipkins and Sadie, and drove him back through the teeming rain to Dane's Lodge for breakfast.
"I've had a bit of a yarn with Ethel Jones," said Fox.
"Ethel? Oh, yes, the help from the village. What has she got to say for herself?"
"Well, sir, it seems that Ethel and her boy took a walk on Friday night down the lane. They passed by the studio window on their way home from the pictures at about 11:30. There were lights going in the studio, but the blind was down. They stopped in the shadow of the trees to have a bit of a cuddle, as you might put it. Ethel says she glanced down the lane and saw someone outside the studio window."
"Did she, by gum?"
"She says he seemed to be wearing a raincoat and a cap or beret of some sort. He was standing quite close to the window, Ethel reckons, and was caught by a streak of light coming through the blind. I asked her about the face, of course, but she says it was in shadow. She remembers that there was a small patch of light on the cap."
"There's a hole in the blind," said Alain.
"Is that so, sir? Well, that might account for it, then. Ethel says the rest of the figure was in shadow. She says the man turned aside and disappeared into the darker shadow, and they could just hear his footfall as he walked away. Well, I went into the lane to see if I could pick up his prints, but this downpour about finished the lane as far as we're concerned."
"I know. Anything else?"
"No. They ambled off home."
"Hello, sir. What's up?" Alain had pulled up and now began to turn the car in the narrow lane. Sorry, Fox, but we're going back to have a look at the hole in the blind.